bring the board up on a couple of things that's, that cuts into those dollars. What I'm talking about is down there around the bus compound that we took a section out that was falling down. The state fire marshal paid us a visit, and he wants a fence around our fueling place where the public doesn't have access, so that's where that's coming from. That's to the tune of about 9,600. New gates and some posts and 8-foot high fence.
PI.
PI.
PI, right. He also, in our K-6 cafeteria, it's been like that since 1945. Now they're coming in saying, we want a suppressive system on that. Been all right since 1945, but.
Sprinkler?
Yeah.
You're not for sprinkler?
The whole suppressive system, yeah.
Wow.
The classroom furniture, Tim sort of headed this up. We had some people putting in office orders for supplies, desks, tables, whatever. And just so happened we found a school that was up in Seneca County that were moved into a new building. They had some things listed that was like 2 years old. We went up there and bought somewhere in the neighborhood between $5,000 and $6,000 that would retail out if we were buying it to $20,000-$25,000, and got some fairly new furniture, desks, chairs, gates, office furniture for good.
To be honest, I kind of wish the folks had been here for that one piece. To be honest, because we saved quite a bit of money by doing it.
Yeah.
We were planning on spending it. That was a nice find.
But it's a lot of classroom need, especially tables. Everybody wants this tables that where they can collaborate now. Desks are out, so we've got a few more. Upgrade to the baseball and the softball field, sort of restructuring that thing, resituating where it's more of a diamond, putting in some materials to build up those lips. Over the years, we thought it was time to deal with it before a ball comes up, and here we go. Still in our soccer and our football field right down the center, our field looks great, but where they poured the salt at one time, it's, you can see it. I mean, you can stand up there and see right where the, we tried to replace it, whatever, so Allscape has said, hey, this is what I suggest you do. Allscape has helped us quite a bit, but they said, you know, when we get into a lot more time and whatever, then, you know, they're gonna have to have some funds. They gave us a $9,200 bill or a proposal to take care of that center of that field by fertilizing, reseeding, aerating, you name it. And he said by the time the season comes, that field should be looking better down that center. I think if the board has an obligation, I think the boosters need to pitch in with that. I don't think the board should carry the whole thing.
Are they willing to?
I don't know. Chris and Matt to pursue that. And I hope the board wouldn't have any problem by going to third on it. Do, then I'll tell Matt and Chris that they don't have any interest in.
How much money are we talking?
$9,206.50.
To almost $20,000 between the fence and the and fixing the football field. That doesn't
18,
yeah. almost $20,000 between the two things. That doesn't even include the suppression system for the cafeteria, which is probably going to run you a good $10,000.
Baseball and softball
at least.
Is $3,800, so.
All right. Is it going to be higher? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I wasn't sure.
Yeah. Well, how much of this is already in the budget, though?
Well,
or is this all in addition to what we already have budgeted for projects?
It's not in addition to. The PI. The problem with PI, you have your big ticket items that you always plan for, buying buses, and then you budget for what you anticipate based on your history that you'll probably spend.
Right.
And the majority of this will come out of that, because we've already got money budgeted for things we don't know that are going to come. The boiler that blows up, we have money budgeted for that out of the PI. That's the unexpected. Boone's just telling you right now, here's our unexpected.
Okay, so this is essentially right. Budgeted.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. It's not, we've accounted for this in the PI. Now, if he was sitting here saying this is going to cost you $100,000, it'd be a different ballgame. But these $9,000, $10,000, $15,000 items, we're okay.
Okay, so let's move on to the next one here.
The 4.6 HVAC, I'm meeting with the company tomorrow. You'd be surprised some of the numbers that we're getting to do this. And they, like you said, think outside the box. These people are telling us that they can put individual units in these rooms that heat and cools. And it does it without any outside source of propane or whatever.
The reason I brought that up, Tim, for what you said earlier, so how can we combine that with the boiler stuff we've got set back? Because we don't need a boiler anymore if we can get this done.
Well, that was an example.
No, and I understand it, but we are right now running a boiler in there, right?
Correct.
So if that we there has to be some savings there that we can put towards this, because we don't need that boiler anymore.
If we get into the boilers are pretty sound, Dave, our big problem is in the piping underneath that we have to tear floors out.
But what I'm getting at is, if this heat pump thing comes in, do we need the boiler? Which means we don't need the propane as much.
According to this company, and I can tell you more later, that they have systems out there, just like they're trying to put in our 4.6, that will heat buildings at 20 below zero. They have hotel rooms or hotel buildings heated like this. I have to see it. I have to talk to someone.
But thinking out that way, if we could do that, is it right in saying that's one cost we can change from here and put to that?
Right, sir. We can probably in 5 years take our propane, if this is what they say, we can probably pay for this and just by saving on propane.
We'll have more electric.
You will have some more electric, right? So you gotta look at all that. And the other part of that is, we think we have enough electric where we don't have to upgrade electric. So that's being studied.
So Tim, that's why I didn't want you to think I was cutting you off, but that sounds like a good savings there, because we can just move one to the other.
Absolutely. Well, it's,
if it works out that way.
It's something that you're getting away from a problem that you're going to have worse every year.
Mm-hmm. Future expenses. You know you're going to have.
And making things better because you have new air conditioning.
Right, so. But that's we'll know more. The company reps are coming in. I said I won't talk to any salesman. You bring the company in here, I won't talk to them.
But if somebody gives grief to anybody about the ABCs in our last campaign and doing air conditioning and how you do it, you didn't pass. Well, you're not doing what we talked about during the campaign,
right?
Which was all electric and taking out everything and putting all brand new in. You're doing a retrofit basically. A whole lot different than what we were talking about during the campaign.
Basically, just some other things, just general repair to all the buildings, clean up. The big items that the iPads, as you recall, we got 7th grade coming up, 6th grade going to 7th. We said we're going to keep iPads, and we budgeted really take that out of the textbook.
Right.
So we're okay on that part. The other part of that is the pads. We're going to have to upgrade our bumper pads where the kids, what we love on now is just not holding up. So Joe's got another thing he's put together that's supposed to give us more protection.
Going to have a new on-off switch too. I've heard a lot of complaints about the on-off.
We're going to do away with we're going to have the pads, but it'll be like a classroom set where when the kids need them, then they can hook them in.
Gotcha. Okay. I thought with the iPads that we did like 7 and 8 this year, and then the following year was going to be 7 and 10, and then the year after that was
7. Remember, 7 and 8 was this year. When the 8th go to 9th, that goes with them. Then
That's right, but I thought we were going to cover, I thought we were still get two grades that get iPads.
That was part of our ABCs, but when it didn't pass, that sort of takes us out of that.
Back to one.
All we can do is just keep giving 7th graders let them carry through. Yeah.
And anytime anyone, when you're talking about iPads, if they want to come and sit down with us and run figures, we'll show them that the iPad is much more down the road. We're going to save you money versus the textbook. And the other thing that's out there in 5 years, the textbook is supposed to be extinct. But the iPads, the padding for the iPads, and the apps is what we're going to be concentrating on. The apps, applications that teachers can download on this thing. So that's your big items, in addition to the four cabinet sets of 25 to 30, 20 to, I think, 20, then we got to get six that goes with it because it comes in 20. We need 25 for set. So we're looking at four of those.
We've got one of them up there at that auction.
Oh, we didn't.
Because it was crap.
You're right.
We were going to get one. Sorry.
But it was just zeroed in.
You're right.
And the last thing is our fueling system, our way of monitoring fueling up buses is obsolete. Works when it wants to. It needs to be upgraded. If we can upgrade that system, then when I come with numbers, I can tell you exactly
what we're using.
Dollars and or fuel. that's around about 25,000. I know everything sounds like it's dollars, but we've got it laid out and we have the dollars for this. A lot of that fueling system is we're going to have to change a pulser and a pump anyway. That's 4,000 bucks on it. So if you have any qualms about it, we can talk about it. Otherwise, we're going to look at that. Going back up to the HVAC, certainly that will have architect drawings that will be set up for bid and all this. And we'll call all those. Why put those on there? Because Linda hit on it. Here's what our past year, this is our school day. Which, and if we look at next school year, 14, the proposed, instead of starting 7:30, our students will be starting at 7:50. And we've had a lot of requests. It's too early for kids to be out. And Linda, I think you made the comment a couple of times. It's too early for kids to be on the bus at that point. We moved it up as far as we could and stay in conjunction with tolls and safe paths, etc. So we have to keep that in mind. That doesn't drive it. For the time being, this is our schedule. And this proposed schedule, if you look at it, Don, you'll like this. We, in that proposed schedule, we have approximately another 30 to 40 minutes of class time.
See, I don't like that. I mean, not that I don't like class time. But I don't like me ending at 3:10.
Why not?
Well, because you've got, you're changing to a new league this year.
Yep.
You're going to be going farther away, hitting more traffic.
That's correct.
Our past league was pretty understanding.
But here's the thing.
I know we're here to educate, not athletic.
When we get the grade card back, it doesn't grade us on how well we did in football and basketball.
I understand that, too.
Well, but then that brings up, I mean, going along with your argument, you know, if that's the case, why change the school day? You know, if they're going to be getting out earlier, then the traffic won't be so bad and there won't be such an issue. I mean, if you're going to be dealing with the athletics.
But we're adding more time here. Why, if we start at 7:30,
no,
we got out at 2:20.
No, if you look at that, other than the student day, we're at another 30 minutes of instructional time, but the day for the staff is not additional time. It's 7:30.
No,
eight,
I was talking
theirs
about
the Yeah, theirs is the same, but we've got the kids pick up 30 minutes.
30 right. More minutes.
Yeah.
Throughout that day. But
yeah.
I don't think the 20 minutes with the new league or with the old league that it makes that much difference getting there on time. I think the leagues are going to have to look at that because they're going to have the same problem getting to us.
And I don't think 30 minutes of added instruction is going to make that much difference.
Well, we seem to think it, with our schedule and with our block schedule, we think it makes a lot of difference over the year's time.
Well, the only way to tell is do it.
I don't like starting that late, to be honest with you.
I think we really should start at 6 and go to 6, but this is pretty good for
this.
Now.
So you were getting complaints that, you know, the kids were getting on the bus too early?
we got some of that, but the thing that what research tells you, Ken, kids do better if they start later in the day. And we're trying to do everything we can to help the academics, that academic process.
And so we had a later start time before. And so we've had this earlier start time for what, the last couple of years?
Well, right, since we came to Central Site. We had a 7:30 start at the elementary when we were at individual buildings, but we had an 8 o'clock at the 7:12 or 6:12.
Well, and you had to do that because you were running more bus routes, right?
Which
not in my area. My kids were still on the bus with junior high and high school students anyway. But so we have data from a couple of years ago when there was a later start time, and we've got obvious data from recently. Have we seen a big difference in all that?
What the principals are telling me is they need more instructional time for the block scheduling to get planning time down for staff as contract.
I'm not opposed to having the kids there longer. That's not my question. My question is, you know, we've been at the 7:30 start time for a while now. Have we seen a decrease in the kids' performance based on that time as what we had in the past?
Well, certainly not excellent with distinction.
Yeah. The scores have gone down.
That's true.
We're trying to do everything we can to pick them up.
But that doesn't mean that's why.
Well, and that was going to be my next question. That might be a factor, but I think that there's other factors going into why that's happening too.
This is looking at everything and looking at the MP, our improvement, our leadership team. This was the time that everyone seemed to think they needed to do the school day.
Is this all kids?
Yeah.
K-12, everybody's going to start at 7:50?
Yes.
Okay, so we're not changing bus routes?
Just starting at a later time, 20 minutes late.
Okay, but we're doing a single run in the morning and a single run at night?
Correct.
Okay.
Okay, this is going to sound stupid. What's the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6?
I just make periods.
That's your periods.
Okay.
First period is going to be from 7:50 to 8:50. Second period is going to be 10:50.
All right, but what about this middle school
different? That was just for me, so I could say, hey, here's an hour, here's 2 hours, here's 3 hours, 4 hours. That block scheduling will take that out. Don't pay attention to
7:30 to 2:20 is the most important numbers up there. Those are the ones you're changing.
Yeah, I purposely taking that out. I'm sorry.
So 7:30 to...
My brain
2:20 was the old one, which I liked. So then you're going 7:50 to 3:10 now.
We already go longer than anybody else in the district, or anybody else in the county. Probably anybody else in the state.
Well, we certainly give them their money's worth. Yeah.
That gives you another 5 cents a year.
Yeah.
So there were a couple of time things that she had on here for the middle school, the 8 o'clock start for period 1 and the 7:50. That was just an option to do 8 o'clock, is that correct?
I'm not sure what you're asking.
Okay, on this schedule, so you've got, in period 1, they've got one that starts at 8 and another one starts at 7:50. It's just like the two options that she was looking at, or that came to you and said, I don't care which one you pick one, type of deal. Okay.
But the block scheduling is why the block scheduling dictates this type of longer day. And the other thing that I have just to share with you.
One other question: what does this do to our length of the school year as far as changing from days and hours?
We still have the same number of days. We just have about 30 minutes more instructional time within that.
Well, but is that, we've got more instructional time, does that give us a bigger window when we have to make up time or not?
You're talking about like snow days?
You get more hours in your year.
But you don't get it, you only get five days.
Right now they base it on days, not hours.
And they're gonna go to hours.
If they go to hours, then, you know, maybe that would affect it, I don't know how you have thought about it.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, if you wanna look, just throw it up there. Of course, the staff day is, still 7 hours and 30 minutes, so. Yeah, 7:40, shouldn't be there. No change in that, we just, whatever 7 hour, 30 minutes come out, they get lunch, 30 minutes for lunch, they get.
Planning
time. Okay? The other thing I'll share with you, then flip it over there, Jim, over there, where the LTE is. There you go.
It's hard to read.
One of the things I'll just share with the board real, this is something that I'll share with the principals right along the year. In other words, Tina Abraham has sort of got a history there. She's great, she teaches a department that she's in, student history. Does Tina teach Algebra 1? Does she teach a certain level of chemistry? Does she teach whatever? The history of that teacher is all the way across there. Does Tina end of course assessments? Does she give those? What does the kids, what, how did they score? The OAA, how did they score? OGT, 2 years evaluation, you know, what's their rating and what's the current rating? Now why I want to see that, and I want principals to keep in front of them, if we have a rating, a current year rating of excellent or high, and we come across them, we see the OAA's down, there's something wrong. And I want to see that. So that's one of the things, one of the checkpoints that we're going to put into place. Just sharing that with you. It's
okay, this is Madison Plains worksheet.
Each building will have this, and each principal, I'll work with the principals to record
make sure
this
they understand. It's going to give validity to the scores given by the will.
Okay.
When they know that we're looking at them along the way. Not, it's just another way of tracking it. The other thing I'll get to, we've got a situation with Mike leaving, and certainly we don't want Mike to leave without saying thank you for a lot of good time, a lot of good years, a lot of good input. We'll miss you.
You'll be here for the next meeting.
I'll be here for the next one.
Okay, I was going to say.
I got one more.
Good. I tell you that next one too.
But anyway, I'm not going that far away.
So. We did put in the paper. Anyone interested in filling Mike's seat to contact us? Did we get any to your knowledge?
Nothing.
Now, whether they didn't read it down in Mount Sterling, I don't know.
Well, they won't get the Tribune till late, and they don't read the Madison Press
in
Mount Sterling.
It's been in there since someone told me. I think Mike told me to put it in the paper, and I put it in the paper a couple weeks ago.
You know, I don't remember seeing that. I'll have to look.
It's classified.
In the classified back. Is there any other way we can go about advertising that? Because I don't want anybody to say, you didn't communicate that.
It's on our webpage. We can do a press release and ask them, you know, here's the story, you know, talk about what Mike's done, and yada yada.
But that's not going to, if they don't read the press and they don't read the Tribune, that's not going to do any good either.
One call. I'm still getting one call. School's over with, for crying out loud. Do a one call.
Yeah, that's not the worst idea.
No,
you know,
not.
You'll definitely have parents that are on that list, and if there's a parent that wants to be on the board or wants to get involved, do a
one
call for all the parents
and
go for it. You're bound to get at least a half a dozen parents that are saying, these guys are full of shit, I ought to run.
Goes to the parents, so it's... cuts out a lot of people.
It's
something.
Go to the parent.
We gotta get somebody.
I get a phone call.
Yeah, you put it in the paper for the other folks. If they don't read it, then.
And there's people that can sign up, have signed up for the one call.
We need to call Rod.
I try.
We should call Lannigan's and Ben and Joy's.
The one thing about this slide, the reason why I included it, you've got to be emailed. But we made some corrections based on conversations both with Ken and with John. You see down here for Mike, we originally had that he
if you appointed somebody within the 90 days, they'd serve for this period. Well, you can't do that because you have to appoint somebody within 30 days of the seat being vacant. And my seat will be vacant starting the 28th,
next meeting,
the 18th. Okay, so if that's the case, then you have to do it by that July 20th, whatever that 30-day period is. You have to appoint somebody, and they'll only be good through 12/31. Sorry about the typo. So that was the changes we made there.
Yeah, so that, yeah, they have to run in November.
Right.
Well,
does the board know anyone they want to bring in for to nominate? Sometimes you can flush people's show in.
Yeah, if they know
anybody. I don't know anybody else dumb enough to do this.
I got a phone call from
put that on the front page.
Nobody Phillips, dumb enough. Mr. Phillips would like to, if we're going to appoint somebody until that time, I know you guys might want to call him. He asked if we were going to appoint. I said, I don't know what we're going to
do.
Tim Phillips?
Oh.
It'd be a good. Addition.
So, do you want me to make contact with Tim and ask if he has an interest to come to the board?
I would. Okay. I mean, he asked, so I'm just telling you.
Yep.
Do anyone else?
Well, you already have it advertised, right?
And then you're going to do one call.
And you're going to do one call, and you're going to call Tim.
I think we've done everything we can do.
You may have people out there that don't want to serve for that short period of time. They just say, well, I'll just run in the election.
And I think you might have some, like me, that took advantage of filling out Mike's rest of his term for 1 year to see if I was going to like it or not, instead of jumping
exactly
in.
Exactly right. I mean, they
instead
got
of jumping
months,
in and you got 4 years of something you're going to hate,
say,
you know, I'd rather do it for a little while and see what happens, you know. I mean, that's what
doesn't sound too bad. I may run.
That's what a, that was a plus for me.
Messenger than the mass press does. I mean, their paper goes out to more people, and she could always put just, you know, board member if you got on it. Okay, yeah.
I got you covered.
No okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, the improvement process. And hopefully next month we have everything sort of combined together so we bring to the board and share with you some of the hard work that people have done. Time, a lot of thinking, and that's that improvement process, because it's a process that's going to be a change culturally for Madison Plains, academically, rigor, and I would ask the board to really tune up, because when the rigor starts hitting, and these eight kids that always got A's gets a C.
Anytime you have eight valedictorians, you don't have
they take that. It's not us.
The most exciting part about this improvement process, Dave, one of our meetings you said, we've been trying to improve stuff. What's happened? You know, what's the status? You know, you never know what the follow-up is. This demands accountability. And you're going to like the tool because it's just a checklist, basically. Here's what you should be doing. Here's the task. Here's who you should be doing it. And if it's not happening, Mr. Hall gets to say at the DLT meetings, what's going on? Why isn't this getting done? The board can ask Mr. Hall, hey, what's the status on this thing? It's in here. And then there's another segment that's the administrative initiatives. That's what the administration's working on. You have the same thing there. Hey, Mr. Hall, what's going on with the communication plan or whatever it is? And he'll have updates because at our DLT meetings and at our administrative meetings, we're going to go right down through those lists with set agendas saying where are we at. So you always know the status of the improvement process. It's not like the old race to the top and the old strategic plans that went over here on the shelf. It's that actual meeting going right down the list to see where you're at with target dates that you have to meet. So it's a it's going to be a nice document for us to track where we're at.
And it's not a lifetime document. Each year you bring it up. But we think it has a lot of merit.
Yeah, it continually evolves.
And they recommend that you do it at the board meetings too. That you say, okay, here's where we're at with the improvement process. You take it, every board meeting has a segment on it. It's just a DLT meeting, same agenda. Building meeting, same agenda. It gets ingrained in people that we're doing an improvement process, and here's what I have to get done, it's my fault.
Coming out, just make you aware, coming out in the handbook, we're looking at another section. Certainly the handbook goes through two readings, so if you have a problem with the way we're going to address fees. We spend a lot of time trying to collect fees for whatever. And what this other little sideline, this little sidebar is going to do is say, hey, if you owe fees, then necessarily you will not qualify for extracurricular, or you will not qualify for participation in a field trip, whatever that might be, to try to get these things. We have several dollars out in fees.
That's a great idea, because it's, they get to the high school, it snowballs. Mm-hmm. And Chris is the one that has to be the bad guy. If leaving eighth grade or starting ninth grade, hey, you're not going to play football next year unless you get all your school fees paid.
Now, they're either paid or they're in the process of working on it. They've got a schedule. But we just don't want it to go for years. We need to put some teeth into it somehow. I know that's probably pounding a little bit hard, but if we're not going to collect them,
that's
let's just
education.
Take them
on. We're teaching responsibility.
It's not the kids, obviously.
Is that the only change to the handbook that you see?
That'll be in some form in the handbook, and we'll get that.
Well,
I
this
think
is
maybe
new.
Next, we'll get it. Maybe in the 18th, we'll have it first.
Can I make a suggestion when we have these new manuals or new stuff? We gotta make a difference, you know, keep the format the same as what the old one is, but do like a strike through and bold text, like the strike through the old stuff and bold the new, so that, because right now I have a bitch of a time, to be honest with you, having two things, and I got one section here, but I got to go 10 pages for the same section there, and I don't know what's been changed to have to read through it. It's a pain in the butt to read through those, and I'm not going to vote for anything that I don't read. So if you can have those changes there that I can look and see, okay, this is what's been changed, and I can agree with that, it's going to be a lot easier for me.
Okay. We're working on it. We'll try to get some stats to you on this next one, Board of Election results. I think Linda's got some numbers. And look at these things and trying to pull out. We have a lot of problems, not only with getting communication down the Mount Sterling area, we have a problem even with our employees going in their amendment right. We got a lot of employees that didn't even show up. And it wasn't because of communication, because we firstly went through every staff meeting and talked about what this is for, blah, blah, blah. So we'll try to digest this a little bit more and attack that and do our impact more. We'll work on that. I just want the board to know that we haven't forgotten about it. We know the people that didn't vote. Because this is the people that did vote.
Right.
We don't know how they voted. Do we want to know?
It'll help us with our next campaign. You can target those folks that didn't vote. We'll talk and say, hey, it's important.
Right.
This concerns the extracurricular, and that is the eligibility. Linda, you called me on why do we have that many kids on. Well, I've checked into it and got as much information I can. A lot of that. There has been contact with the parents. There has been contact with the kids. There has been follow-up with the AD for the kids that are in athletics. And having said that, remember that they might have failed that fourth grading period, but they had enough build up from the other three to pass for the year.
Okay, they passed for the year, but will they be eligible to play or perform in an activity?
A lot of them will not.
Will not. And how's that going over? Because I'm assuming they've been contacted by now, and the coaches have been contacted by now. And
I don't know. I know we've had a couple. I've had a couple of people come in and talk to me about from the cheerleading aspect that should be on the board agenda for the 18th, talk to the board. But the bottom line is we have an expectation of 1.75 to participate in extracurricular. Remind the board that we have, it goes up to a 2 point after the first semester, after the first season, it goes up to 2. So it's that part of that rigor, and it's part of that expectation that we're going to have to ask people to do if we're going to get better.
Okay.
Is the
rest of you aware of the number of people?
No, I'm not aware of the number of people, but I thought there was something that was in the handbook that said you had to have a certain GPA in order to participate in sports.
We have about 50 kids that's going to have difficulty playing extracurricular, being part of extracurricular because they didn't make
They better study
point.
Harder.
Well, my complaint was if we had that many that was ineligible, that's could that possibly be affecting our test scores? Because if they're that ineligible, even in 1-9 weeks, you know, they either just didn't do anything.
Well, were they ineligible, or was the eligibility requirement changed?
No,
so that, I mean,
they knew that 175 was there.
Okay.
The extra people in extracurricular that had been reeled into the eight. They have actually had meetings with the AD
That need that includes band and choir and all the clubs and all that other stuff, right? Okay, that's what I thought.
But your kids know how to use that percentage. They can figure out what their GPA is for the three, and a lot of times they'll just say, "Hey, I'm out a little bit fourth. I'm going to take my time." So we are looking for ways to maybe cause that not to make it a little bit more difficult where they can't. I need a board, since Mike's leaving, he's on the ELT, district leadership team. I need someone from the board to serve in that capacity.
Sorry.
Yeah. It's like, oh my head. I'm trying to read this.
Don put his hand up. I don't want to get into a, I don't want to pick and choose, believe me.
DLT, district leadership team. How often does that meet?
Right now, we've been meeting quite a bit, but we hope to be maybe once a month once we think it's the goal.
Yeah, you were meeting more than once a month, because
yeah.
I know I went to that meeting,
so
and that was at least
Don's your choice, and we'll put you on when we get together, we'll send you an email.
Unless somebody else is dying to do it.
Yeah, I'll do it.
Good for you, Dave.
Are you serious?
Yep.
Okay. I'm just gonna be
And the last thing that I have, believe it or not, is the district communication, and that involves our outside communication person, Michelle Groom. What I've tried to do is lay out some of the things that she has done, worked with us with us, we think has been effective regardless of what Mrs. Little, it's been out there. The last person that said that our communication is liking, I came back the next day and sent them a packet of communication that went out that thick, and I haven't heard from that gentleman since. And I can do the
same. He's still trying to read it.
Well, I know what we send out. I know how the communication is never what you want. It's never up to the point you'd like to have it. But for the last couple of years, we have done a lot of communication.
Yeah. You only hear communication what you want to hear.
Yes. Communication only effective.
No crisis, no communication.
I can tell you, I think we've got a lot of miles out of the time that Michelle's worked with us. She's very good at what she does. And I think our communication has increased immensely the last couple of years. And we've got some things we think we can make it better if we go that direction. And certainly we'll bring back a recommendation for you.
My question is, are we done with her services? Is she still going to be around, or do we still need her?
Her contract ends in June, so we've got to do something with her.
So we've got to have somebody that's been working with her on a lot of this stuff that they can take that over. I don't know if that's Joe or if that's whoever else.
You need to hire her back.
Well, yeah. I mean, I don't know. Is that the option that we want to do, or you think
I'm going to right now is going, I'm going to recommend that Michelle stay with us with our.
I think you need to keep her. I don't know what we need to do to improve. And I guess what I look at is we've done some things. We've added to what we have done in the past. Is it working?
I
guess I can't say that I really think it's working. I know it's got to be better than what it was, but the one thing that I do know is we cannot quit.
Well, I just thought that when we first brought her on that we thought it was going to be a more temporary basis just to get us moving.
We're going to try it for a year, then we're going to evaluate.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I think as a result, what Michelle has done and what we've got planned for 13, 14, I think we're going to have more
be beneficial to
out there. I can tell you right now, the communication was out there.
And I think we'll definitely need it for the one levy that we're talking about.
Yeah.
We need it for
we need it
for everything.
So that we can pass levies, not just when we want to pass a levy.
Yeah.
We don't have anybody on board that has their skill set. I mean,
that's
we
true.
Just don't. I mean, there's a lot of people that have pieces of it, but that
but don't
package,
have what she can do.
Yeah, we really don't.
You look over on the page 20, or flip it up there to 20, Tim. This lady is very organized, and she wants a big, she wants accountability. And she's got it all laid out.
You talking about that chart?
Yeah.
Okay. Pretty small, but
yeah, I know she made a difference at Hilliard, and she was let go from Hilliard when they didn't pass one of their levies, and then when they wanted her back, she had another position, so she's no longer with them, but I know that she did make a difference while she was there.
She made a difference, Madison Place.
Good.
We had, my prior experience, we had one we paid $70,000 a year to, and didn't do nearly what she did.
What she does for 14.
I'll be honest. Tell you if she did, I said it over there.
Right,
it's
yeah,
sure. Not worth $70 versus $70,000.
So, with that, ladies and gentlemen, that's all I have.
Jeez.
Anyone else have anything?
Can we move to a turn?
Move to a turn? Yeah, I'll second that.
That's great. Ben was in the bottom.
Gotcha.
Yes.
Mr. Warlock?
Yes.
Not in a hurry, but here. Thank
Mr. Swanger?
Yes.
Mr. Brandt?
Yes.
Mrs. Blankenship?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yep.
Motion carried.
Next meeting, June 18th, 7 o'clock.